This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Tense times between Ted and Trump. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Friday, January 15. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
After being cordial toward one another for weeks, Republican presidential rivals Donald Trump and Ted Cruz tried to undermine each other in the latest debate last night.
After trying to keep it from the public, Chicago officials have released another video showing a deadly police shooting.
Human error is apparently the reason that two Navy boats wandered into Iranian waters this week, leading to the temporary detention of 10 sailors.
And on the technology front, a one-pedal driving system.
This is a feature of the new Chevrolet Bolt. That's Bolt with a B. And you can set it for a mode that does almost all of your starting and stopping just with the accelerator pedal. So what happens when you press the gas is it takes off the normal way. Acceleration is supposed to be pretty good. But as you let off the gas, it actually slows the car down as if the brakes are being applied.
Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman on driving with just one pedal. He explains in about 20 minutes. Well, remember back in the summer during that first debate, what, in August, when businessman Donald Trump was considered a short-term self-promoter and Senator Ted Cruz was thought of as a long shot when it came to the Republican presidential race? Not anymore. The two men leading in the polls went after each other last night during the sixth GOP debate carried by the Fox Business Network. There were heated back-and-forth moments about things like Mr. Cruz's eligibility to run for president.
There's a big question mark on your head. And you can't do that to the party. You really can't. You can't do that to the party. You have to have certainty. Even if it was a 1% chance, and it's far greater than 1%.
Mr. Cruz, by the way, fired back that Mr. Trump's mother was born in Scotland.
I'm not going to use your mother's birth against you.
Okay, good. Because it wouldn't work.
You're an American, as is everybody else on this stage, and I would suggest we focus on who's best prepared to be commander-in-chief.
They shared a stage in North Charleston, South Carolina, with Florida Senator Marco Rubio third in most polls, retired surgeon Ben Carson, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Ohio Governor John Kasich, and former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. 17 days now till the Iowa caucuses. The Democratic candidates, by the way, hold their fourth debate on Sunday. Do the presidential debates bring any meaningful boosts to a campaign? Wall Street Journal reporter Dante Chinney says the first five didn't produce any spectacular moments that disqualified a candidate, probably last night either, for the Republicans. But polling data suggests good performances have been rewarded. Dante, what do we have here?
I don't think anybody would say that there's been any kind of decisive knockout moment in any of these debates. There's been nothing that's really kind of dramatically altered the landscape. So what we're doing here is we're just seeing what kind of incremental changes happened after. Carly Fiorina did have a good couple of debates. One debate, she got onto the main stage. She did so well in the undercard debate, she got on the next time, and then she did pretty well when she was on the main stage. But then she didn't do as well after that, looking at what happened to the polling numbers. The thing that really jumps out at me looking at the data is that, Ted Cruz does pretty well. He's generally thought of, after these debates, we say generally that he's one of the candidates who had a good night, had a good showing, good performance, and that does seem to come out in these numbers. The other candidate who's seen movement to some extent is Marco Rubio.
Okay. So the issue, as Ms. Fiorina has proven, is that sustaining momentum is very difficult. Why is that?
Well, I think for Mr. Fiorina, it's curious why the drop happened. So why she had such a, because she has a couple of good debates in the looking at these numbers, and then things go down. The thing we have to remember is the debate isn't the only thing happening. There are a lot of other, you know, things happening outside the debate world as these things are going on. But the, I do think that for all the candidates on stage, this is really a moment to kind of seize the camera, seize the media attention, and do something. And having a good night can give you a real bump up. The one candidate actually, you know, this doesn't apply to when we looked at these data is Donald Trump, who has not had great debate performances. He's either seen slight declines or been flat. He saw a bump in the last debate, the December 15th debate. And, you know, why is that? I think one of the reasons why we're seeing that is that Donald Trump really kind of exists outside of the world that the debates provide. This idea that the debates, you know, give a candidate a chance to shine in the media doesn't really apply to Donald Trump, because he's become such a force of nature in the media that he generates his own coverage. So the stakes are very high for a lot of these candidates because the light is on them for this time, and it's a chance to seize the attention of the media. But that's less true for Trump, who really seems that he can have these debates, do okay in them, not do great in them, and then still come back the next day and do a phone interview with somebody on a TV show and generate a new narrative.
Right. We're speaking with Dante Chinney, Wall Street Journal reporter. He's got a piece entitled "Good Debate Performances Rewarded Polling Shows." All right, so that said, if you can't sustain the momentum and somebody like Mr. Trump doesn't have to perform greatly or poorly to move the needle, essentially, that makes me wonder, without the debates, with these nationally televised debates, would the poll numbers be the same?
Here is an excellent question. You know, it's impossible to know, right? But it does, when you look at the numbers, it suggests that, you know, Ted Cruz seems to get a bump out of the debates a little bit, or he has lately. But it's hard to know what difference it would make to where we are right now. Would Cruz have picked up a lot of that support anyway? It's hard to know for certain. The one thing we can say is that Trump seems to kind of exist outside the sphere of the debates. And as the front runner, it's hard to think that that part of the race would really be any different right now. Without the debates, Donald Trump would likely very much still be in front with little changed.
Yeah, then it almost seems to come down to are you a worthy enough TV guest that you're going to continually get invited back, right? Then you just sort of get that free media exposure because you happen to be a good guest.
Yeah, right? It's part of the life of any news organization at this point is ratings or viewers or readers, yeah. And Donald Trump brings television ratings. So they're, you know, look, if other candidates call into a show and say, they're not even on air, but I'm going to call in on the phone, do you want to put that on air? Television networks or news programs aren't terribly interested in that.
Right.
But with Trump equals rating points. They're more than happy to give him time on air.
Yeah.
We have one more debate to come on January 28th in Des Moines. That one's in Iowa, so in the first state. And that one may be worth looking at, just because if we are going to look at these little bumps that come out of these, the little bumps that come out of the Iowa debate could end up being the most crucial.
It's Dante Chinney, Wall Street Journal reporter. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. One great resolution you can make for the new year: maximize every minute and every dollar for your small business. I know an easy way to do that: stamps.com. Think about how much time you've wasted going to the post office. First, you have to drive there. Then there's the hassle of finding parking. Stamps.com is the better way to get postage. You just use what you already have, your own computer and printer. It's all you need to get official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then the mailman picks it up. With Stamps.com, everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. And at a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com is great, and it's so easy to use. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter code DEAL. Glad you could be with us on this Friday. Defense Secretary Ash Carter says the reason two Navy boats entered Iranian waters this week, leading to the brief detention of 10 U.S. sailors, was because of a mistake in navigation. At a news conference yesterday, he said he's still piecing together all the contributing factors.
We're still talking to those folks, and we'll find out more what combination of factors led to that navigational error, but they were clearly out of the position that they intended.
The nine men and one woman were taken Tuesday by Iran's Revolutionary Guard, then released Wednesday. They had come within 3 miles of Iran's Farsi Island at the time. The boats had drifted off course, but one apparently was also suffering engine trouble, making it impossible for the Americans to rapidly back off and return to international waters when they were approached by armed Iranian naval boats. The U.S. Navy has initial statements from the sailors, but we may learn more after officials conduct a full debrief. Officials in Chicago have had a change of heart, deciding now to release a video that they've tried to suppress. It shows police shooting and killing an unarmed carjacking suspect in 2013. The state's attorney is Anita Alvarez.
We looked at that case back in 2013 and determined that no criminal charges were warranted.
The surveillance video appears to show 17-year-old Cedric Chatman and two officers running across a street. Officer Kevin Fry said he fired after seeing Mr. Chatman turn toward him with a dark object in his hand. That dark object turned out to be an iPhone box. It's not clear in the video whether the teen, who is black, actually turned toward the officer, who's white. The victim's family denies that he did. Mark Smolens is a lawyer for the family.
It's less than 10 seconds, and he's lying on the street, mortally wounded.
The agency that investigates police shootings cleared the officer who shot Mr. Chatman of any wrongdoing. Questions about the Chatman video follow the November release of another police shooting video, which shows a policeman fatally shooting a teenager 16 times in 2014. The city fought its release for more than a year. It's 20 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Republican presidential candidates Donald Trump and Ted Cruz asserted their standing atop the GOP race in last night's debate, overshadowing a crowded field of rivals still trying to find a way to overtake the fiery frontrunners. The candidates tangled over Cruz's eligibility to serve as commander-in-chief and the real estate mogul's New York values. Trump renewed his suggestion that Cruz may not be eligible to serve as commander-in-chief because he was born in Canada. Health officials are investigating whether two Legionnaires' disease outbreaks in and around Flint, Michigan, were caused or impacted by the ongoing water contamination crisis. Officials have launched an investigation into outbreaks of the disease in 2014 and 15, which killed 10 and sickened 77 in Genesee County. Meanwhile, Gregory Vadnis of the National Guard says bottled water delivery continues.
We'll be distributing water, water filters, and test kits.
Elevated lead levels have been found in Flint's water supply after the source was changed from Detroit's municipal supply to the Flint River. The Obama administration today will announce a moratorium on any major new coal leases on federal lands until it completes a comprehensive review of whether the fees charged to mining companies provide a fair return to taxpayers and reflect coal's impact on the environment. Companies will continue to be able to mine the coal reserves already under lease. Roughly 40% of the coal produced in the U.S. comes from federal lands. And a couple of stories from the odd crime file. A 37-year-old woman is under arrest after a naked rampage through a Waffle House restaurant in Georgia. Police say the woman stripped off her clothes, hit a woman, and threw several platters of food at Waffle House customers. And a Canadian man was arrested while pulling a sled carrying more than 180 pounds of prescription pills across the border into the U.S. Agents found 300 vacuum-sealed bags of Xanax pills in a duffel bag on his sled.
Wow. You're right. A couple from the strange file there. It'd be quite a scene at the Waffle House, wouldn't it? Hey,
yeah,
kids, just look over here for just a moment, okay? And this guy, not apparently as advanced as El Chapo.
No,
he had
white camouflage on, too. I guess he tried to melt into the snow.
Unbelievable. It's 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Make your work beautiful again and reduce downtime by 50% with powerful new Dell and Intel technology. Learn more at Dell.com/business. There's new technology coming to cars that could be one of the most difficult to adapt to. It's called one-pedal driving. Used to take three pedals to operate a vehicle, right? But Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says this one-pedal system could eliminate the need to use the brake in most driving situations. Rick, take us through it.
You know, we hear about
so many cool-sounding new technologies happening in the auto industry, but most of them are years away, or they show up in these so-called concept cars that never end up getting built. So here's one that's actually starting to show up in a car, and it's something called one-pedal driving. This is a feature of the new Chevrolet Bolt. That's Bolt with a B, not the Volt. The Bolt is all electric. You charge it at home. It runs. It gets about 200 miles on a charge, and it will be coming to showrooms later this year. And you can set it for a mode that does almost all of your starting and stopping just with the accelerator pedal. So what happens when you press the gas is it takes off the normal way. Acceleration is supposed to be pretty good. But as you let off the gas, it actually slows the car down as if the brakes are being applied, way more than when you take the, your foot off the gas in a regular car. And when you take your foot all the way off, it actually applies what is the equivalent of braking power. You can come to a stop in this car in a fairly short distance just by taking your foot off the accelerator and never pushing the brake.
Is there not a risk of thinking you need to slam on the brakes because you weren't paying attention or something happened and then you actually hit the gas?
You know, I think there are always risks when something new comes into the cabin, or it's something new. It's a different, something's different about the way we operate a car, and that's mainly because we're trained to do things the old way. So it's the learning curve that I think is the risk. And I need to point out there still is a traditional brake on this car. So whenever you feel you have to stop shortly, like if you have to do an emergency stop, you can't stop quickly enough just by letting off the accelerator in this car in an emergency. You still have the brake there, so you can slam on the brakes anytime you want, and you can just use the brakes if that makes you feel good. This is a mode of driving in the car, but you can also set the car so it drives just like a normal car with normal acceleration and braking.
That's really something. We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. He's got a piece entitled "The Brake Pedal on Your Car is Becoming Obsolete." And to be clear, right now, this is just electric vehicles.
Yeah, this thing called one pedal driving only applies to electric vehicles, and that has to do with the way the wheels capture energy when you're not pressing on the gas. They actually capture more energy, return it to the batteries when they decelerate the car aggressively, as it will do in the Chevy Bolt in this one mode. So the real question here, you know, will this become mainstream? I think that obviously depends on whether electric cars become mainstream. You've got predictions on both sides. Some people say, yeah, the technology is quickly becoming cost-effective enough for ordinary families, and there are a lot of reasons we think this technology will be mainstream by 2020 or 2025. And then on the other hand, you have people saying it'll never happen, especially in an era of cheap gas. What's the incentive for people to join to pay extra for an electric car when gas is less than $2 a gallon?
Yep. Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The holidays are over, so why don't you treat yourself to something nice and make a visit to All and Sundry, a modern men's shoe company with an old-world vision. You've heard me talk about my friend Nick and his team and how they make the finest handcrafted custom shoes. Well, they want to extend an invite to those of you in the New York City area to their showroom in the Flatiron District. They'll take great care of you, and it'll be a truly unique experience. You get to select your style of shoe, whether for work or play. They source all the materials and build each one by hand. And without a middleman, you get the savings. No more outrageous markups. If you're a shoe guy, All in Sundry is for you. If you're not a shoe guy, you might change your mind after visiting the team at All in Sundry. Visit allinsundry.com, too, to set up an appointment or speak to a team member on the best way to create your shoes. You'll even get a discount when you enter code DEAL online, or mention it to a team member when setting up an appointment. Don't wait. Reach out today and get the very best in affordable, handcrafted shoes. All and Sundry.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Friday, January 15. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: Trump and Cruz battle in the latest Republican debate. Defense Department blames navigational error for Iran detaining American sailors. President Obama takes questions on YouTube this afternoon. We could learn tonight when the armed occupiers of that wildlife refuge in Oregon will leave. A day after saying Ebola was done in West Africa, a new case is found today in Sierra Leone by the World Health Organization. Hurricane Alex, a month and a half off season, 800 miles off Portugal. And fantasy leagues based on reality TV shows like The Bachelor. That story in about 20 minutes. The newest Wall Street Journal and NBC News poll finds businessman Donald Trump is up by double digits over Texas Senator Ted Cruz in the Republican presidential race. 33% of respondents who said they'd vote chose Mr. Trump, while 20% opted for Mr. Cruz. In third place was Florida Senator Marco Rubio at 13%, followed closely by retired surgeon Ben Carson at 12%. Meanwhile, many observers are dumbfounded by how Mr. Trump has survived various remarks or proposals that seemingly would have spelled the end for other campaigns. Here's USA Today reporter Rick Hampson. Rick, how about some historical perspective?
And over the years, if you think about these candidacies, these primary candidacies that crashed and burned, they all, in many cases, had this gaffe or stumble or mishap that laid them low. For instance, it goes all the way back in my memory to '68. The Michigan governor, George Romney, Mitt's father, was a very popular candidate for the presidency. But when he came back from a fact-finding trip to Vietnam, he said he'd been brainwashed by military officials, and that was the end of him. In '72, Maine Senator Ed Muskie appeared to cry when he was speaking outside the Manchester Union Leader, replying to an attack on his wife. People said he cried, he's too emotional, he's gone. Joe Biden, when Vice President Biden, then Senator Biden, ran for president in '88, he had to drop out because he was accused of plagiarizing lines from a speech by Neil Kinnock, the British Labour Party leader. And, you know, just recently, in 2012, you have Rick Perry's infamous oops in the GOP debate.
Right.
Well, that's the end of him.
Right.
But Trump, however, has said all sorts of things, and he seems, you know, impervious to these falls.
And what makes him different? What do the experts say?
Well, it seems there's roughly four different things that confer this immunity on Trump. First of all, some of the things he says that would be regarded as gaffes are actually what make his fans like him. He says an outrageous thing. It appeals to a certain segment of the population. Maybe not 51%, but 20, 25, 30%.
Yeah.
And that's where you see him in the various polls. Secondly, he seems to enjoy a double standard. It may be partly because of his own unusual background. You've got a reality TV star. He's a casino and a golf course operator. He's a real estate promoter. And I think the news media and many voters just don't expect the sort of standard of conduct from him that they would from a senator or a governor or a public official. And so if, for instance, Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush was to say something outrageous, well, that would be news. Trump does it. It's dog bites man. It's not news.
Right.
And he's very good at slipping the punch. Everybody knows about, you know, the outrageous things Trump has said, but there's always a qualifier in there. He can always go back and say, I didn't say all Mexican immigrants are rapists, you know. I said some are, and some are fine people. So he usually has a certain amount of deniability. Also, a lot of times, he's not the first one to attack. Everybody thinks about what he said about John McCain not being a real war hero. It was McCain who hit Trump first, saying he was stirring up the crazies.
We're speaking with Rick Hampson, national reporter at USA Today. His piece is called Trump's Campaign Seems Immune to What Felled Others So Far. Another thing that I hear from Trump all the time is the phrases he uses, like, people tell me, or, right, my very good Muslim friend told me, or I hear it all the time. Like,
right.
he throws these things out
right.
there that can
right.
never really be checked.
Right. And so contrast that with Joe Biden in 1988. When Biden first starts giving this, it's kind of a rags to riches story he's telling, and he's using phrases that Neil Kinnock used, and he's citing Neil Kinnock, and he's saying, you know, as Neil Kinnock, of the United Kingdom has said, and after he gives the speech a few times, he drops Neil Kinnock, understandably. You know, you feel like you're giving the same speech over and over and over again, which you are, but to different people. And when he dropped Kinnock, that's when, you know, he was suddenly accused of plagiarism. So whatever you think of Biden, I think, you know, it was at least somewhat understandable. He got no excuse. He was gone, whereas Trump sails forward.
Thanks, Rick. USA Today reporter Rick Hampson. 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Don't forget, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the handle at This Morning Show. You could follow me there directly as well if you like cynicism and sarcasm. My handle is at Gordon Deal. Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online. Here's Google Trends expert Nina Tyler, who's with us live this morning. Morning, Nina. Where do we start?
Hi, Gordon. Good morning. Well, this was an eventful week. And first up, fans around the world have been mourning the loss of music icon David Bowie and also acclaimed actor Alan Rickman. And people took to Google to find quotes and photos and their favorite clips from these two artists. The top search David Bowie songs globally are Heroes, Lazarus, and Space Oddity. And also, you know, with Alan Rickman, people are searching for Harry Potter movies, Die Hard, Galaxy Quest, and Love Actually, some of our favorite movies featuring him.
I can't get Heroes out of my head ever since the news came down, what, Monday or Tuesday? It was a terrible way to start the day because the news came down, I don't know, what, late at night or early in the morning, and just
exactly.
Bad,
I mean,
way to start
just really
day.
Really sad news, and it's eerily similar. Both died from cancer at the age of 69.
Yeah, very good. State of the Union made the list as well.
That's right. Obama's State of the Union this week. We saw people turning to Google to kind of go back and rewatch different parts of it. And we saw people asking questions on Google. The number one question, who sat behind Obama at the State of the Union? People wanting to know, what is the State of the Union address, why we do it, and how many State of the Union addresses Obama has done in the past. And this was his last one. So a lot of people tuning in and wanting to know what he had to say.
He's done 8 in a row, and we do not know at this point who will deliver the next one, right? Part of the mystery
exactly.
of what's going on. Yep.
Exactly. And fun fact, during yesterday's debate, Donald Trump, no surprise, he was the number one search candidate. Ted Cruz was number two, and Marco Rubio rounded out the top three. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who we have doing that next State of the Union address, as you mentioned.
All right, let's lighten things up a little bit. We got to play this clip from Adele doing carpool karaoke with James Corden.
We could have had it.
I'm not necessarily a fan of her music. She's not really my type, but man, I mean, it's hard to find somebody more likable.
Exactly. If you're watching this video, you know, if you were indifferent to Adele before, she's just so charming.
Yeah.
This week's trending video, as you mentioned, it's at James Corden carpool karaoke with Adele, and she sings some of her hits, but she also raps to Nicki Minaj. She sings Spice Girls. And so you really just get to see her personality shine through. And this video, it has over 18 million views since it originally aired on Wednesday.
Wow.
So just let that sink in for a minute. 18 million.
That's impressive. All right, finish up with the Rams and poor St. Louis losing another franchise.
That's right. We're turning to sports news here. After the Rams, Chargers, and Raiders all put in bids to move their teams to Los Angeles, an NFL vote determined the Rams would be returning home to the Los Angeles Coliseum next year while they build their studio. So it's still up in the air whether the Chargers will join them in Los Angeles. So we're kind of waiting for the decision to come in on that. But St. Louis fans, they are very disappointed, very bummed out. And, you know, it'll be determined, you know, whether we'll see another team in St. Louis. But for now, the Rams are moving to L.A.
Yeah. I think that's it for St. Louis. Who's your team, by the way?
Actually, I'm a Southern California girl, so I'm a Charger fan.
Ooh, wow, wow.
I am a Charger fan, so we'll see if they stay in San Diego or if I will have to travel to L.A.
Right.
To see my Chargers play.
How about that? Very good. Thanks, Nina, for a few minutes as always. Nina Tyler, Google Trends expert with us live this morning. 13 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
He's in the paint. Down by two. Can he do it? The ball is up. It's nothing but net. The crowd goes wild.
Hey, Greg. Waiting on your PC again.
Yep. Want a front row seat to the big game?
No. I'm good.
A workplace that doesn't work is anything but beautiful. Give your employees the power to do their best work and reduce downtime by 50% with new, powerfully performing Dell and Intel technology. Learn more at Dell.com/business.
Glad you're with us. 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Republican frontrunner Donald Trump again attacked Ted Cruz over his birth in Canada, saying it raises questions about his presidential eligibility. In last night's Republican debate, Trump told his rival, "There's a big question mark over your head." Marco Rubio also took a shot at Cruz.
"I saw you on the Senate floor flip your vote on crop insurance because they told you it would help you in Iowa. And last week, we all saw you flip your vote on ethanol in Iowa for the same reason. That is not consistent conservatism. That is political calculation."
Issues of national security, the economy, and foreign policy also played heavily in the debate, which comes 2 weeks before the first real test of the campaign, the Iowa caucuses. This winter's powerful El Nino, already blamed for big storms on the West Coast and freakishly warm weather in the East, still has a lot more life in it. The latest update from NOAA says the brunt of El Nino's impact will continue to be felt over the next few months. Wet weather is likely to continue in the South through March. Above average temperatures are likely in the west and northern half of the country, with below average temperatures in the southern plains and along the Gulf Coast. The average age of first-time mothers is at an all-time high in the U.S., over 26. The change is largely due to a big drop in teen moms, but the CDC says more first births to older women also are tugging the number up. A dangerous new strain of dog flu is spreading concern across the West. A dog in Montana recently tested positive for the highly contagious virus, and the Washington State Health Department is warning pet owners after possible exposure at a Seattle area kennel. The same dog flu hit the Chicago area hard last year. And basketball superstar LeBron James continues to push further into entertainment and philanthropy. He'll co-produce and star in a reality TV series to air on CNBC this summer called Cleveland Hustles. James and his business partner will give four aspiring local entrepreneurs the chance to realize their own dreams while revitalizing a neighborhood in Cleveland.
That's pretty cool. Nicely done, LeBron.
Yes, I think that's great. He does a lot for Cleveland,
yeah,
obviously.
I was not a fan. After that, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, but I must say I've come around.
Agreed.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Well, the ladies now have something to counter men's obsession with fantasy football leagues. The Wall Street Journal says rabid fans of reality shows like The Bachelor are building leagues of their own. While some of these consist of a few friends and a spreadsheet, others are full-fledged websites that have several thousand players. The Bachelor, which airs on ABC, has particular appeal to fantasy types. During episodes, The Bachelor narrows the field in an emotional rose ceremony that keeps some contestants and sends others home. The site Fantasy for Reality allows viewers to play along by drafting would-be wives to form teams. Some winners might just get bragging rights, but the woman who runs a site called Bachelor League has partnered with a company called Clothing by Owl to offer tank tops to the best performers each week. It's really taken off. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
While most video surveillance solutions capture and store hours of nothing, CUDA Eye by Barracuda Networks only captures video when something happens. Once captured on camera, the video evidence is immediately encrypted and sent to the cloud for safe storage and easy retrieval from any web browser or mobile device. With CUDA Eye, there's no network configuration or software to install. Just plug one or more cameras into your network to better protect your business. Don't get caught with nothing. Do something about it. Check out CUDAEye.com. That's CUDAEYE.com.